Good morning, Lakeland family and guests. Thank you for connecting with us this morning on this Lord's Day. We are grateful for an opportunity to worship Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and to be encouraged from His Word together. Henry Ward Beecher, a 19th century Presbyterian pastor and preacher, once wrote a beautiful tribute in his day celebrating the birth of a particular psalm. This psalm, according to Beecher, is one that had encouraged the disappointed, it had consoled the hearts of the captive, of the sick, of the widow, of the orphan, it had eased the deaths of the dying, and it had even freed prisoners from their chains in prison. And it had done so much more work and would continue to work until the end of time. Can you think of what psalm Beecher was celebrating? Is there a particular psalm that comes to your mind? Psalm 23, according to Beecher, it has filled the air of the whole world with a melodious joy greater than the heart can conceive. Blessed be the day on which that psalm was born. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known and most beloved psalm in all of the book of Psalms. It is a psalm, no doubt, which has ministered to us in various ways and on numerous occasions along our spiritual journey. We know Psalm 23. We believe Psalm 23. We're like Beecher, we are thankful to God for the day that Psalm 23 was born in the heart of King David. Psalm 23 is a psalm written by King David. It's an individual psalm of trust where David expresses his confidence in God. In this psalm, David likens God to a caring shepherd of sheep and to a gracious host of a guest. And as our caring shepherd and as our gracious host, we shall not want. David tells us that God will provide for all of our needs. That's his main idea in verse 1. That's what David means when he says, I shall not want. He's not speaking about desires that will be unfulfilled, but he is speaking in terms of not lacking anything that we need. As our caring shepherd and as our gracious host, God provides for all of our needs. Those who know God in a personal relationship and who trust in Him, He will provide for all of their essentials in life. He supplies for us abundantly. He supplies for us completely according to all of our needs. And it's my prayer over the next couple of Sundays that God will use Psalm 23 to deeply minister to all of our hearts as God opens up this passage in new ways for us to see fresh truth or to even be reminded of truths that we may have forgotten. So let's look at this psalm together. Let's read it and let's see what God has to say to us to encourage us during these days. Looking in Psalm 23, this is what David writes, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you please pray with me? Father, we thank You for Psalm 23. God, we celebrate this text in our hearts today, knowing that You inspired David with this text of Scripture, God, that has encouraged and helped so many, God, throughout the ages. And we pray today that you'll use it in a special way in all of our hearts this Sunday and in the Sundays to come. God, minister to us. May we encounter you in a real way, we pray, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. David teaches us that God is our caring shepherd and our gracious host who provides for all of our needs. And in verses 2 through 6, David gives us some specific ways in which God provides for us. We see, first of all, as our caring shepherd in verse 2, that God provides sustenance for us. Imagery depicting God as a shepherd relating to and caring for his people like a shepherd does to a sheep is found all throughout the Word of God. God shepherds his people in tender, loving, and in caring ways. And the first way we see that David tells us is God provides sustenance for us. Look at what David says in verse 2. David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, David, if you'll remember, he was a shepherd before God raised him up to be king over Israel. And so David was very familiar with the responsibilities of shepherds. And one of the key responsibilities of a shepherd was to daily lead his sheep out to green pastures so that they could graze, and to lead them to water holes so that they could drink. Sheep, they needed to graze so that they could satisfy their hunger. They needed watering holes so that they could quench their thirst. And David tells us that God does that for his people. He leads us to places where he will provide the sustenance that we need to satisfy our hunger and to quench out the desires of the soul. David affirms in this passage that God leads us to green pastures. Notice that it's plural in the text. The green pastures implies that God's provision for his people is it's rich, it's abundant, and it's ongoing. The fact that David pictures himself in green pastures lying down gives us the imagery that God is one who not only provides, but he gives us enough to the full to satisfy us. Now, this has two applications for us that I want us to explore this morning together when we think about God as our caring shepherd who provides our sustenance for us. Number one, as our caring shepherd, God provides our physical sustenance. The essentials to maintain our physical bodily needs, God will supply those to us. Interestingly, many commentators see in Psalm 23 some connections that allude back to Israel's exodus. In the history of Israel, we find that they were imprisoned. They were in bondage in Egypt. God raised up Moses to be a leader to lead them out of bondage. And you'll remember Moses led them into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, the Israelites disobeyed God. So they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And after that 40 years of wandering, God then led them into Canaan, the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. I want you to listen to what Moses says to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Moses says this, "These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked a thing." Remember Psalm 23, verse 1, "I shall not want." We could translate that as "I shall not lack." Moses tells Israel, "These 40 years in the wilderness, you've not lacked a thing." Then in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9, as God is preparing to bring Israel into the promised land, this is what Moses says about God. God was bringing them into a good land, a land, he says, in which you will not lack anything. So they did not lack anything in the wilderness, and they would not lack anything in the land to which God was leading them. And now write down these verses. Psalm 77, 20, this is what the psalmist says. He says, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." That's Psalm 77, 20. Now, Psalm 78, 52. "But he, God, he led forth his own people like sheep and he guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So do you see the connection? The Bible pictures God as a shepherd to Israel. Israel was his flock, and he was leading them through the wilderness. He was leading them into the promised land, and all that while God was providing their sustenance for their physical needs. Think about this. For 40 years, God provided food for Israel in the wilderness. He provided them heavenly bread called manna from heaven. He provided them quail in supernatural ways. He provided them water in a dry, scorched, parched land. He would cause water to come forth from the rocks, flowing like rivers, the Bible says. He provided them clothes. For 40 years, their clothes and their shoes on their feet did not wear out. And he provided them covering. Think, they're in the desert for 40 years, and the Bible tells us that a cloud covered them all of that time to protect them from the intense heat of the sun. He was a faithful shepherd to Israel, providing for all of their physical needs that they had. And what David wants us to see in this text and what he celebrates is that those who trust in God like a sheep trust in their shepherd, God will give us those life-sustaining provisions that we need. As I was studying the psalm, I was thinking about the various ways that God has caused me to lie down in green pastures. And one of the episodes that is so fond in my heart that I think about often is the time when God called me to pursue a theological education at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. At that time, I was living in my hometown of Truman, Arkansas, the northeast corner of the state, and I was planning to move to Fort Worth in the fall of 2002, but there was a problem. I didn't have much money in my bank account, and so what I needed is I needed God to provide me some money to help me with the move and to get established as I transitioned to Fort Worth, and I also needed a job. The summer was coming, and I didn't have any clue as to what I was going to be doing. And do you know what God did? There was a man in my community who reached out to me, and I still don't know how he thought to reach out to me. But he reached out to me and told me that if I needed a job for the summer, then he needed some help. He was a local crop duster, and he needed someone to refuel his plane when he would come in. He needed somebody to help load his plane as he would go out to spray the fields. And so I worked for him that summer, and God helped me to earn a couple of $1,000s to put in my bank account. And then also, something else God did that just blessed my heart, a church that I had served during my college years reached out to me and said, Donald, we heard that you're going to be moving to attend seminary. And so what we want to do is we want to provide you a scholarship to help you get started on your journey there. So with just in a matter of months, God gave me several $1,000s. To help get me started. He was my faithful shepherd, providing me a job when I needed a job. He was my faithful shepherd, providing me money when I needed money. And I could go on and on with ways God has been a faithful shepherd to me, and you could as well. I want you to look down in Psalm 24, verse 1. Look at what the psalmist says in that verse. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains." Listen, our God who created this world and who holds this world together, he owns everything in this world. I love what one commentator says. He who has Yahweh, the one true God, the possessor of all things, himself has all things. He lacks nothing. I want you to think about that. Our shepherd is the God who created the world, holds the world together, and owns everything in the world. Our God has all resources in his possession to provide for our physical sustenance. We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. We need jobs. We need money. We need transportation. And some of you feel this right now. Some of you, you've been cut back and at your jobs. You're not working as many hours. Some of you have been furloughed or let go from your job, and you're unemployed in a tough economic climate. You have checked your retirement accounts, and you've noticed that much of your gains have been lost during this downturn with COVID-19 and all of its implications. And yet you still have bills to pay. You still need to clothe and you still need to feed your family. You still need to provide. Listen, the Bible tells us that God knows those needs. He knows the essentials that we are in need of. And he is our caring shepherd who provides for that physical sustenance for us. And so here's what God wants us to do. This is what Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. When we have a need, first of all, we need to pray to God specifically about that need. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 8 and verse 32, Jesus tells us that before we even go to God in prayer, he knows our every need. He's our Heavenly Father who cares for us, and he has perfect wisdom and insight. He knows our needs. And yet this is God's rule. This is God's instruction to us. We are to pray to him about our needs. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 11, he says, we are to pray, give us this day. Now notice this, our daily bread. We go to God day in and day out, and we bring our daily needs to him. You see, when we pray, we're showing that we have faith in him and we depend upon him. What is your need? Do you need a job? Pray to God every day to provide that need for you. You talk to God about that need. Or is your money running short? Let God know. God, I don't know how I'm going to make this payment. I don't know what needs to happen for me to be able to pay this bill or to buy this thing that I need for my family or to take care of this or that. Speak to God specifically about that. Let God know that need. So we want to pray specifically. And then the second thing Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 6, and we've talked about this in recent weeks, is Jesus tells us, don't worry about those needs, but keep God your first priority. So we want to pray specifically about our need, and then we want to keep God our first priority. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all those needs, will be added unto you. What does it mean to seek the kingdom and his righteousness? We want to know God intimately. We want to share the gospel faithfully. We want others to know him intimately. And we want to live righteously. We want to do God's will. So we want to know God, make God known, and we want to live for God according to his will. And Jesus says when we do that, we pray to God making known our needs, and we keep him our first priority, God will take care of all that we need in life. He's our caring shepherd who provides for all of our needs. I love what the song says. Our God, he's a way-making God. He's a miracle-working God. He is a God who keeps his promises. He opens doors that no man can close. He can steer any man's heart to do for you whatever he wants done to take care and supply for you and your family. Be encouraged this morning that you have a shepherd who cares for your needs and will provide for your physical sustenance. Tell God specifically what you need. Keep him your first priority. God will take care of you. But there's a second application to David's words that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Not only is God our caring shepherd who provides for our physical sustenance, but he's our caring shepherd who provides for our spiritual sustenance. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, we find that God rebukes Israel's leaders for being bad shepherds because they did not feed his people. Now, when God rebukes Israel's leaders for not feeding his people, we're not talking about a literal feeding of food. God has in mind here a spiritual feeding of food. You see, the leaders of Israel, they were entrusted by God to faithfully proclaim his word, teach his word to the people that they might be spiritually knowledgeable, that they might grow spiritually and be spiritually healthy. And what was essential for their spiritual health was the truth of God's word, its faithful teaching. And yet they were bad shepherds. They cared more for themselves than they did for the people, and they were false teachers. They did not faithfully proclaim God's word. And so God judges these leaders. He promises to remove them. And then he says in Ezekiel 34, 14, he says, I will feed my flock. You see, God would be a caring shepherd who would provide the spiritual sustenance, the spiritual food that his people needed. So in the Bible, we see God as a caring shepherd who provides for physical food, and we also see God as a caring shepherd who provides for our spiritual food. See, the Bible's very clear. We're not just physical beings. We're physical and spiritual beings, and both are essential to life, the nourishment and the sustenance to sustain the way God has made us. And when we get to the New Testament, we see this same metaphor of God as a shepherd providing for our spiritual food. The Bible tells us, you can write down these passages, in the book of John chapter 10 verse 11, Jesus is the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, he's the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, Jesus is the chief shepherd. And in the Bible, we see that Jesus feeds his people through under-shepherds that he raises up to lead us in our local churches. He feeds us. He's concerned about us feeding on spiritual food. And what is that spiritual food? The Bible tells us it's the Word of God. God's Word, our Bibles, his truth is the food for the spiritual man. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, all tell us that the Bible starts out as milk for us as Christian babes, and then there are deeper truths that we dive into that turn that we can liken to meat for the soul. Not only did God provide for David's physical needs, but he also provided for David's spiritual needs. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, we find that Moses says this to the Israelites. During their wilderness journey, Moses says, he, God, he humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. See, what God wanted Israel to learn is that there's something that's more important than physical food. The thing that trumps physical food is spiritual food. What's most important and what should be our greatest priority in life is taking care of our inward spiritual man or woman. And God provides us the necessary sustenance to satisfy our heart's desire. Those who are hungry, God promises that he will fulfill their appetite for truth. My wife and I, we like different kinds of restaurants. One of my favorite kind of restaurants is a buffet-style restaurant. My wife, she's not a fan. But man, I really like buffets. And one of the reasons I like buffets is you can keep going back. Have you ever gone to a restaurant where they bring out a meal? You've paid quite a bit for that meal, and after you ate, you're just looking forward to getting home so you can eat a little bit more just to fill up your appetite. Man, that doesn't happen at a buffet. Man, you get a plate full, you eat, you're still hungry, you can go back and you can keep replenishing to your heart, to your stomach's desire till you are full. Well, what David's telling us is that God has given us a buffet, so to speak. He's given us food that will satisfy the deepest desires of our inward man and woman, and we can feast until we are fully satisfied. During this COVID-19 crisis, let me encourage you as your pastor, do not neglect feeding the spiritual man or the spiritual woman. Make sure that you are partaking of the food that God has provided for you so that you can be spiritually healthy and that you can be spiritually strong. If our desire for the physical is more important than the spiritual, what are we saying to God? If God's already provided us a buffet for the soul in his word, and yet we continually desire those material and physical things more so than what he tells us is more important? Are we truly a people trusting in God? Or are we truly a people seeking after God? We should not neglect the greater and seek the lesser. We should seek the greater and ask God to provide for the lesser in our lives. So let's prove ourselves to be truthful. Let's prove ourselves to be faithful during these days. As we're quarantining, as we're still social distancing, as we're still not able to come together as a church. And so how do we feed the spiritual man during these days? Number one, the spiritual sustenance or feeding comes through under-shepherds. So one of the ways that you can continue to feed this the spiritual appetite you have is by connecting with us each Sunday. We're going to continue, as long as we can't gather together, to provide an online virtual format for us to be encouraged from the Word of God together. Make it a priority to gather with us as we open the Word of God and study it together. And when God grants the day for churches to begin to gather back together, let's not take for granted anymore being faithful to come Sunday in and Sunday out, because as we've seen, this privilege of gathering, it can be taken away from us. And I'm telling you, I miss with all my heart gathering with my church family. So let's be a people, when God does open the doors of our physical buildings again and it's safe to resume gathering, let's be all the more committed to say, I'm going to come. I'm going to come to encourage others, and I'm going to come to be encouraged from the Word of God. God provides that spiritual sustenance through under-shepherds who preach His Word. But then there's a second way that spiritual feeding comes. That spiritual feeding comes through personal study. Make sure, if you don't have a Bible reading plan in place, that you go to our website, that you download our Read 2020 plan, which is our daily Bible reading plan, and that will give you just a chapter in the Bible to read each day, where you can spend time with God and you can ask two important questions as you read that passage. One, what does the text say? And number two, how do I respond to it? What's God saying in this passage of Scripture I've just read? And how can I personally apply it to my life to live it out in a way to love people and to love God as He calls me to? So here's what I just do in my own life. I get up early in the mornings. I encourage you to get up early. Set aside at least 30 minutes, 15 minutes that you can have time to pray, and then 15 minutes for you to open the Word of God and allow God to feed the spiritual man or woman. When we read God's Word, we're going to encounter examples in the various books of the Bible, the chapters and the passages that we need to imitate. We're going to say, wow, I need to live life the way this person lived for God. We're going to see sins that are rebuked, sins that are discussed in detail, and we're going to say, wow, this is something I need to make sure to avoid in my life and to put boundaries up so I don't go in that direction, or this is something that's in my life already, and God, I need to turn from it. We're going to encounter promises that God makes to us, and we're going to learn some of the assurances that He gives to us, and we're going to say, I need to believe that. I need to meditate on that, because God's going to use that to encourage me. We're going to encounter commands. We're going to see that God says, do this or don't do that. And we're going to start putting those commands into place in specific ways in our lives. We're going to encounter wisdom for living life, how to make decisions that are just exemplify with skill, decisions that will please God. We're going to encounter doctrines, truths about God, truths about sin, truths about this world, truths about humanity, truths about our salvation, and truths about so many other things that will help us to keep growing and knowing what is true and what is wrong, and so we will be better equipped to live the life God has called us to live. God is our caring shepherd. He provides for our physical sustenance. He provides for our spiritual sustenance. Oftentimes, when I preach a funeral, I always read from Psalm 23. I do that intentionally because Psalm 23 is a very comforting passage from the Bible, but it's also a very well-known and familiar passage of Scripture to people who are churched and unchurched. When I read from Psalm 23, I'm always aware, though, and I always want to discuss this at some point in the message as I bring it to an end, that there's a difference in knowing Psalm 23 and knowing the shepherd of Psalm 23. David tells us in the first verse of this psalm that there's a really big difference in knowing this psalm and knowing the shepherd of Psalm 23. There's one word that makes all the difference in this psalm. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." See, God is not the shepherd to the whole world. God is not the shepherd of all people. The Bible tells us God is the shepherd only to those who know him. You see, in fact, in the Bible, we find that not all people are sheep of God's flock. Those who don't know God, those who are not a part of his fold, the Bible classifies them as goats and even wolves. Those who are rebellious against God are those who are even antagonistic and predatory against the church. But here's the glorious truth of the Scriptures. In John chapter 10, verse 11, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." 2,000 years ago, the good shepherd came down from heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, was God in the flesh, and he came because he was concerned about the world. He loves us, and he came so that all goats and even wolves would have an opportunity to become the sheep of God. And what Jesus did is he's our good shepherd who came and lived a life that we couldn't live, a perfect life. And he came and he died on the cross. He gave up his life to take upon him the punishment for our sins. You see, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We're rebellious against God and we're under condemnation. We're separated from God, and if we die in our sin, we'll be eternally separated from God and punished in a literal hell, a place of eternal judgment. But Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and offered up his perfect life on the cross, dying for us the death we deserved. And because he was the innocent Son of God, dying on the cross for our sins, God accepted what he did in our place to make possible for us the forgiveness of our sins and a right relationship with him so that we could know him in a personal relationship, that he could be our shepherd. Jesus died on the cross and he came back from the dead on the third day. And the Bible tells us he's the one who has life. He is the door to the sheepfold. And I love what Jesus says in John 10:9. He says, if a person will enter in through him into the flock, into that sheepfold, Jesus says he will be saved. He will go in and out and he will find pasture. Anyone who's willing to turn from their sin and to trust in Jesus with all of their heart, surrender their life to him, he will rescue them from their sins. He will free them from the judgment that is to come. He will bring them into a right relationship with himself, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And God will become that person's individual shepherd. And then that person can say, along with David and along with all of us who have trusted in Christ, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Brothers and sisters, those of us who know Christ, may we spend this time as we conclude in a final song of worship, just thanking God for being our shepherd who provides the sustenance we need, our physical needs and our spiritual needs. And may we speak specifically to those needs and ask God to provide for us. And if you're watching and you've never come into that personal place in your life to know God in a personal way through Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer from your heart. There's nothing magical about the words, but just words that will help communicate your heart's desire so that you can come to know God, to meet your greatest spiritual need, which is forgiveness of your sins, and then he will become your heavenly Father, your faithful, caring shepherd who will take care of everything else in your life. And if that's the desire of your heart, I encourage you to please pray these words with me. and then we will celebrate afterwards. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word and, God, to be encouraged from the scriptures. Lord, David said that you were his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, the most important decision a person will ever make is having a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. So I pray if there's anyone watching who needs to make that decision, that you will give them the courage to pray a prayer something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my desires. I know that I'm under judgment. I'm separated from you, and I deserve to be separated from you for all of eternity and to be punished for my sins in hell. I know that's a reality, but I believe you sent Jesus into this world. He's the good shepherd who loved me so much that he came and he lived the life that I could not live, and he died the death that I deserved, and you raised him from the dead as the one who has life in himself, and I need that life. I need that life which offers forgiveness. I need that life which offers me a relationship with you. In the best way I know how, please forgive me of my sins and help me to turn from them. And I place my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. I want him to come into my life, and I want him to lead me from this day forward. I surrender my all to him. Help me to live for Jesus moving forward. I pray in his matchless name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to celebrate with you. And what we want you to do is to text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. And what we'll do is we'll connect with you to get some more information so we can help you start your walk with God in the right way. Once again, thank you for connecting with us. Let's celebrate in this final song of worship that the Lord is our shepherd who provides for all of our needs.